Father, we just thank you for everything that you are doing in your spirit realm. We surrender our hearts to you now as we go forth in the word. We cover each and every person in the blood of Jesus Christ. We release your holy angels to go throughout the sanctuary. We invite your Holy Spirit to come into us again, even deeper. We take authority over the atmosphere. We ascend above the second heavens into the third heavens to hear your truths, the words that you have for us in this hour. And Father, we just honor you and honor your presence. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We should not be surprised by the things that are going on in this hour. Not one bit. We are a prophetic church, and God has been speaking to us for at least 20 years about the things that are happening right now in Israel, if not longer. We should have the answer to give to the world, to be able to tell them what is going on and why it's going on. Every one of us, not only in this house, but in the other houses of God that are out there. There should not be one of us in a state of fear or panic about the things that are going on as well. Now, saying that doesn't mean that you should not be vigilant. You should not be in a state of, I don't care, and I'm just going to do whatever I want. You need to be paying attention to your atmosphere, your surroundings, people that are in your immediate sphere of influence. Because the Holy Spirit does give us direction to say, don't go down this road, don't go to this place, stay home. All of those types of things the Holy Spirit will tell you. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you know, you're going to know and you're going to understand what to do. We released emails this week saying we knew that things were going to be happening this weekend. They were proposed to be happening this weekend. If you're not reading your email, I would highly encourage you to check and make sure it's not going to your spam folder. And I would, you know, we're trying to stay ahead and on top of the things that are going on. And if you don't read it, you're going to miss what God is doing. This goes for the fresh words, you know, the prophetic words that Pastor Barber puts out whenever God gives them. If you're not paying attention, it's not our fault. It's not God's fault. You have a responsibility and a part to play in this, in what God is saying and doing. And it's good that all of us pass and share information together and alone. But above and beyond that, we should be listening to the Holy Spirit and asking him what's going on, what we should be doing each and every day. There's a seriousness in the atmosphere that cannot be walked away from, talked down lightly to. You still have joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It is what is carrying us through, and it is what is, you know, God has for us as anointing to walk through. But again, we take seriously the things that are happening and what's going on right now. Is revival coming? It's here. It's absolutely here. Because God is doing what he wants to do, how he wants to do it. This morning, we're going to be talking about what's not happening in Israel. And it's kind of a trick title just to get you thinking about what really is going on so that you're aware of these things. We're going to start out with Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. We all know this scripture, but it's relevant for this time period. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, every purpose, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill. Believe it or not, there is a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Every one of these different time periods God has placed in our sphere, in our realm of influence, you have to be discerning and understand what time period you're in. Think about that. Seal that inside of yourself. Not all of us are on the same timetables. One person may be in a time of mourning. Another person may be in a time of war. Another person may be in a time of joy. That doesn't negate what's going on in each individual's lives. And we need to honor that, and we need to understand that, because we're all individuals in God's house. There's a corporate time for everything. And right now, if you don't understand it, let's go back to the four blood moons and the one solar eclipse that took place. The four blood moons came in a two-year period with the solar eclipse. The four blood moons told us, you know, signs and stars in the heavens, that Israel was going to enter into a time of trouble. The one solar eclipse that took place told us we were going to be in a time of world war. Those signs that God put in the heavens were there for a reason. Did you listen to them? Did you observe them? This past week, this past Saturday, there was a solar eclipse that took place called the Ring of Fire. It's another prophetic sign in the heavens talking about the world being at war. God is speaking to us. Are we listening? Are we hearing the things that he's telling us? Or are we just saying, that doesn't apply to me? It doesn't mean anything. I'm chosen. I'm special. Yes, you are. But there's still things that God wants you to know so that you can be in his timetable and doing what he wants you to do. Every one of us has a call that we have to fulfill day in and day out. There are people that you're called to minister to day in and day out, and you have to do that. Well, you don't have to. If you want to get what God wants for you, then you have to do it. If you want to be in his perfect will, then you have to do it. But if not, when you stand before God at the great white throne judgment, and he asks you, how come you didn't go and minister to so-and-so? How come you didn't do what I told you to do? Why? You're going to have to give an account for those things. You're not going to be able to say, Pastor Barbara didn't treat me right. She didn't look at me. She didn't shake my hand. Brother Chris yelled at me. All of those types of things is going to be, hey, you, why didn't you do what you were supposed to do? It's real. My sister was mean to me. I'm not going to serve God today. My professor yelled at me. All of these excuses that we hold up are not going to count for anything. God is just going to want to know, why didn't you serve me? I sent my son. He died on the cross for you. He is coming. Children, you need to understand that he is coming. And he is coming sooner than you think. My spirit is grieved. My spirit is also moving in this earth realm. And I am drawing all men unto my bosom. And sons and daughters, you have to understand that this is the time and the season that I birthed you forth for. This is the time and the season that I am sending you into the highways and the byways with a word that's ready in season to tell my people that I am coming. I am bringing my fire. I am bringing all sorts of destruction, and there is going to be fear on all sides. And you need to understand that it is me that is doing these things. I want you to stand up in your most holy faith. I want you to stand up in the righteousness and the holiness that I placed inside of you and walk worthy of the calling that I have placed upon your life. These signs, these wonders are going to increase in intensity. They're going to increase in numeration. And you must stand your course. You must stay and do the things that I've asked you to do. Children, there is a rapture that is coming, but up until that time period, I need you in the fields. I need you laboring. I need you birthing forth my kingdom principles. My kingdom is coming. Yes, my love is real. It has not changed. It is deepened. It is widened. It is going to the deepest depths and the highest heights to bring forth my harvest. Know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, but at the same time, persecution is coming. There will be more deaths. There will be more imprisonments. Understand the times that you live in and serve me with everything inside of you. Let's look at what has happened. Last Saturday, 3,500 rockets were launched from Gaza into Israeli territories. These rockets were sent with no pattern, rhyme, or reason. They just let it fall where they may kill whoever it would kill. That has been the pattern in the past. Then armed terrorists went across the border at several porous places, invaded towns, attacked kibbutzim, went from house to house killing families, beheading babies, killing elderly people, Holocaust survivors, taking many of them hostages, burning them in their vehicles when they sought to escape. Then armed terrorists, they went in with an ISIS-like methodology, door-to-door, women and children. So far, 1,300 dead in Israel, including 29 Americans. They will say it is the bloodiest day in Israeli history in the modern state of Israel. That's significant. It's not a skirmish. It's an all-out declaration of war. It's the bloodiest day in Israel's history. In modern day, it's equivalent to our country of 9/11 times 10. Joel Rosenberg put out this statement. Almost as many rockets were fired in the last 4 days as were fired in the entire month of August 2014. This is Israel's Pearl Harbor. This is our 9/11. It's the worst set of civilian murders and casualties here in Israel in the entire history of the state of Israel in this short period of time. In fact, this is the biggest murder of Jews since the Holocaust. Meaning in a 4-day period, we've never seen anything quite like this. Most Americans don't know what Hamas is. They're a radical Islamist terrorist organization. But you have to think ISIS, Hamas doesn't mean anything to most Americans. ISIS does, and what has happened in the last 4 days here. Hamas has chopped off the heads of babies. They've shot children in front of their mothers. They've shot and murdered mothers in front of their children. They burn houses with Jews trapped in them to kill them. And it's just off the charts demonic, satanic. And it's got everyone just in shock. Grieving, of course, angry, but I think grief is the number one emotion that people are dealing with right now. And now we have to get ready to really go on offense. Israel does not occupy the Gaza Strip. And I think this is something important that we need to understand. The people that were in the Gaza Strip area were all Palestinian. They're inside of this region, which is Israel owns it, but they're inside of this region and they're coming out of Gaza Strip attacking places in Israel. This is what has happened and this is what has taken place. We're accused of it, but it's not true. In 2005, our prime minister at the time decided to pull all Israeli soldiers and all Israeli civilians out of the Gaza Strip and just gave the Gaza Strip to the Palestinians as a gift. You can have it. We don't want it anymore. There's no actual reason for a terrorist to come across the border and tell us, oh, we're here to fight you because you're occupying our land. They gave them land. So you're hearing all of these people that are coming on the news and they're being put on the news saying, we want our land back. We want our land back. You've been given a piece of land. Why are you still unhappy? They're still unhappy because that's not what they really want. They want to kill the Jews. They want to destroy them no matter what. So if it really was about the land, why are you attacking them? There's no reason. They're contained. The Gaza area is contained. So much so that there's fences around this area between Gaza and Egypt. Egypt is an ally of Israel. And Egypt does not want the Palestinians coming into it because they just got finished fighting a war trying to get their area contained from the Hezbollah. So, again, there's lies that are being told to us day in and day out about what's going on. And the truth is, it's not about the land. It really is about their hatred for Israel. They're getting some kind of replenishment of the weapons that they use from somewhere, meaning the Gazans. The main funder and supplier of arms and strategy and direction is Iran, the terrorist regime in Iran. If you don't remember this, Obama gave them $15 billion in cash before he left office in 2016. $15 billion. They've taken that money and they've attacked Israel several different times and in several different ways. Biden just gave them $6 billion. Where do you think that money went to? One of the ways the Iranians get their supplies of weapons in is by taking them apart and hiding them in shipments of humanitarian relief goods or whatever, or what their dual use things like a lot of the missiles or rockets are actually built in metal shops in Gaza. But they're not that sophisticated. You can just keep building thousands and thousands, thousands of them based on just scrap metal or metal that you're bringing in to reconstruct the damaged buildings and build new high-rises. A lot of international aid gets siphoned off by Hamas and used to build terror tunnels, weapons, and so forth. Then whole weapons are smuggled in. We thought we were doing a good job at sealing it off, but clearly Iran and Hamas have blindsided us by being far better prepared than Israeli intelligence realized. Hamas doesn't do anything on its own. The direction comes from Iran. Why does Iran want to pick a fight with us now? Because they want to blow up the peace process. They're terrified. And if you've been watching this and following this, there have been talks from Russia. Russia has wanted to help start a peace plan. This used to be the United States' place. But now Russia has said, hey, we want to facilitate negotiations. We're available. We've been friends with Israel for 15 years. And we understand the plight. We want to stop what's going on. So here comes Hamas with their attack. They want to stop this. The Iranian regime is terrified of the idea of an Israeli-Saudi peace treaty, because that would essentially be the end of the Arab-Israeli conflict as we've known it. The Iranian leadership strategy is to tell Hamas to go into Israel in this massive attack, then lure Israel into a ground war inside Gaza, which is going to be incredibly messy. It's urban warfare, street to street, house to house, apartment to apartment, booby trap landmines. There are going to be high Israeli casualties, and there's going to be high Palestinian casualties. And what does Iran want at the leadership level? What does the supreme leader of Iran want? Of course, he wants dead Jews. But what he really wants is dead Palestinians. Why would the supreme leader of Iran want dead Palestinians? Because he wants television images of collateral damage of women or children and young men who are killed by Israel as Israel tries to hit Hamas terrorists who are hiding behind the human shields of 2 million Palestinian civilians and behind our Israeli hostages that they have. What people are not realizing is that Hamas will set up a military base inside of a hospital intentionally. So Israel has to attack the hospital because the missiles and the bombs are being shot out of the hospital at Israel. So what happens? This makes Israel look like you're killing innocent civilians. So in addition to them setting up this military base inside of this hospital, the Hamas people bring in as many Palestinian citizens and line them around that hospital, put them in that hospital. So when they do have to do what they need to do, there are going to be dead bodies of quote unquote innocent civilians. So these people are being held hostage in their own country by people that are not doing them any good. And no matter what Israel does, they're going to be made to look like they're the bad guy. Despite everything that's happening right now, there are still people saying Israel's done too much. And they haven't even started really, really fighting. They've been blowing things up, preparing. The last 2 days, Israel sent out notifications saying, we're getting ready to bomb. What army does that before they do it? They just go and blow up the stuff that needs to be blown up. But in order to make peace with the whole entire world, they're sending out notifications, please leave the area. Don't stay here. We have to blow up these targets. So they're going to be made to look like the bad guy when all of these civilians get hurt, harmed, or killed. Right, so that's this cowardly, demonic way that Iran and Hamas are using. So as we try to go get them, no matter how hard we try, and we will try hard not to kill civilians, but it's going to happen. And when it happens, this will make the supreme leader of Iran very happy, because CNN, MSNBC, all the networks, New York Times, BBC, Al Jazeera, everybody else will start to make us, as Israelis, look like monsters. We're not defending ourselves from monsters, but now we are the monsters. And the Iranian leadership hopes will cause the Arab Muslim world to back away from Israel rather than gravitate towards them. Obviously, ultimately, Iran wants us to get annihilated. It's Iranian leaders that are on the record that keep saying we want to wipe Israel off the map. So, of course, they want to kill us all. But to get there, they need to isolate us. And what they're terrified is, rather than the whole Muslim world being against us right now, more and more of the Muslim world is for Israel. And that's why they're trying to blow up the process right now. This is very dangerous, what is actually going on, how it's being laid out, how it's being played out. And it's important that the church understands the truth behind this. And unfortunately, the church is saying and doing things that are bringing further confusion to the body of Christ because they don't know where to stand. They're coming in, they're looking for the truth, but we are so messed up that we're saying things that we shouldn't be saying. In one of the most important times where we should be silent and pray, we're not doing it because everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame. Everybody wants to be known as the great prophet, prophetess. So they're saying stuff that's completely twisted scripture-wise. There are people that are saying that this is the Ezekiel 38-39 war. There are people saying that this is the Ezekiel 38-39 war is Gog and Magog. For it to be Gog and Magog, Israel needs to have no supporters or allies. Currently, there are 84 allies of Israel growing. So it cannot be Gog and Magog. In Gog and Magog, the entire world is against Israel. So, looking at the bigger picture of everything, you can see, okay, Israel's going to be blamed for killing civilians. What's going to happen? People are going to start saying, well, it's not right that Israel's killing these civilians, so they're going to withdraw their support. So that 84 number is going to start going down to 70. And more people are going to say, nope, this isn't right what Israel's doing, even though Israel's being attacked. So it's going to go from 70 to 60 and from 60 to 20. And then eventually everybody is going to turn their back on Israel. So this isn't Ezekiel 38-39. This isn't Gog and Magog. Another war that they're trying to say is happening is Psalm 83. And the countries that are involved with Psalm 83 are some of the Arab-Israeli countries, but two of them are Egypt and Jordan. Today, present day, Egypt and Jordan are allies to Israel. So the Bible prophecies, right? The Bible scholars are right, and they're saying that Jordan and Egypt are going to be coming against Israel. Today, they're not. So this cannot be the Psalm 83 war. Now, looking at the bigger picture of everything, these are setups to get us to that the Psalm 83 war and Ezekiel 38 and 39. So the church should know this. As many Bible prophets and expounders of Revelation have been teaching, why doesn't the church know this now? These should be easy answers that every one of us should be able to spit out of our mouths to say, nope, this isn't right. This is exactly what this is. And God gives us these things for a reason so that we know and we can give an answer. So, Revelations 12, 7 to 9 and 13 to 17. We preach about this all the time, Satan thrown out of heaven. Verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. How many times have we said in here that the devil's fighting us? He's been cast down from heaven, and he's fighting us here on earth. Verse 13, now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman, the church, who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon has spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We're seeing this enragement from the enemy manifested in these Hamas, these Hezbollah, anyone who is not of God. they're sending hatred against the true children of God. Now, in our realm, what we deal with right now is we have family members who are coming against us because they don't have the Spirit of God in them. So that level of hatred is being spewed out from them to us. But we're living in a day and a time period where we are going to be subject and vulnerable to the Hamas people, the Hezbollah people who are embedded here in the United States and are eventually going to start attacking us. They're here because we opened the door, we opened our borders, we didn't do anything to stop them from coming in, and now we are waiting for this bomb to explode, so to speak. God has told us many times in here, prophetically, that there is going to be warfare in the streets of America. There is going to be bloodshed that is going to take place. We are in prime position for that to take place right now, right as we speak. Just because of the things that we have done within the last 3.5 years with Biden. The doorways have been opened for these things to take place. We were on a track that was going to set us up to be safer than what we would be. But now we're not on that track anymore. Because the things that are going on with the border and the things that are going on with these people that we're letting in willingly. Revelation 16, 12 to 16. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gather them together to the place called Hebrew Armageddon. Some people in the body of Christ are asking the honest question of, is this the battle of Armageddon? Some people in the body of Christ are saying definitively that it is the battle of Armageddon. This war that is going on right now is not the battle of Armageddon. Why? Because Israel's foreign ministry says they have 84 countries that have released statements of support for Israel. United States, France, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, India, the European Union nations, Austria, Belgium, Bulgaria, Croatia, Cyprus, Czech Republic, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Ireland, Italy, Latvia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Malta, Netherlands, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Slovakia, Slovenia, Spain, Sweden, United Kingdom. Now, there are currently 24 nations that are against Israel, along with Lebanon, Syria, Iran, and Qatar. Trying to stay neutral, Egypt, Jordan, Turkey, Russia, China, Saudi Arabia, Indonesia. So there are countries right now who are not taking a position, not taking a side, on this conflict and what's going on. And that's something that needs to be thought about because, again, going back to Ezekiel 38, 39, it says every nation will come against Israel. So if there's those who aren't taking a side, that's not every nation. So the pattern doesn't fit. Listen at some things that Vladimir Putin has said in understand that everything that the press says about him is not true. He was doing an interview with speaking to this news reporter, Edmund Zelbunev. Thank you, Astrid. He got asked the question, Mr. President, in your view with regard to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, is there any prospect for a settlement in the coming weeks or at least the coming months? And how is the Russia side prepared to contribute to this process? Vladimir Putin had, Israel has, of course, faced an unprecedented attack that has never been seen before in history, not only in terms of its scale, but also in terms of the nature of its execution, its brutality. Well, we must call it as we see it. Israel is responding on a massive scale and also with quite brutal methods. Of course, we understand the logic of the events, but despite all the brutality on both sides, I still believe that we certainly need to think about the civilian population. Zelbunev asked him another question. Can Russia assist in that? Russia can, precisely because we have very good relations with Israel over the past, say, 15 years. Absolutely. And we have traditionally good relations with Palestine. So no one would suspect us of wanting to take sides, but only if, of course, someone needs our mediation. This is always done only on the basis of agreements between the parties. So isn't it interesting that he's setting himself up to be a part of the peace process between Israel and Palestine? You're not really hearing this in our news cycles. Let it be known that Egypt, Jordan, United Arab Emirates, Morocco, and the Sudan all have peace treaties with Israel. Oh, just remember this. What about Ukraine? Where is Ukraine standing? Ukraine is standing with Israel. Hard to believe, isn't it? Standing with Israel in the midst of this. It amazes me how much the body of Christ does not want prophecy to be fulfilled. There are some interesting things that are going on right now, and if you're working on God's plan and God's timetable, you can see and feel that God is in these things. The nation of Israel is at war with evil in its purest form. Despite all the deep religious people that the body of Christ has, no one saw this attack on Israel coming. Think about that. We have known here in the Lighthouse Church, because God has spoken it over the years, that a world war is coming, and it is going to be on such a level that it would affect the entirety of the United States with bloodshed on our land. There have been several conflicts since 9/11, but the latest one prior to Israel was Ukraine. Ukraine is dragged on and money has been spent, but the war has not produced any bloodshed on American soil as of yet. Here we are today with an evil that was perpetrated so deeply that those who have denied it have called into question if they are truly sane. When you look at some of these people who are standing in the streets of New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, and they're saying they stand in support of Palestine, and you ask them the question, will you denounce Hamas and what they did in Israel? They refuse to answer the question. And they even go so far as asking them, will you denounce the killing of the babies that these Hamas terrorists have done? They will not answer the question. They turn it back around and say Israel has done far worse things. They're crazy. And we have to understand that we're dealing with the people who have a mindset who have been raised from birth, kill the Jews. They have that mindset. It's not going to change. Barring them coming to Christ and getting salvation, it is in their mindset, it is in their blood to kill. The American people don't understand that. They're refusing to accept it. And then we have the church. With all of the Bible scriptures we have, it is amazing that we just cannot understand what it is that God is saying and doing. And I understand this on a different level now. Oftentimes, God will speak a prophetic word to people, and the spirit of stupidity gets on them, in them, around them, and they utter the words that no prophet ever wants to hear. What did God mean when he told me that I needed to get out of sin? We have people that do this right now. Why are people attacking the Jews? Because the Bible is fulfilling itself. It's not hard, and it's actually quite simple, but we are making it hard. The American church is starting to give forth its opinion on what is happening, and these opinions are truly muddying the waters so that people cannot see the truth. Matthew 24:4-14. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows." Verse 9, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." The Bible says that there are going to be wars and rumors of war. I find it very interesting that the body of Christ reads this scripture, knows this scripture, but everyone who is asked about what's going on jumps straight to the battle of Armageddon. What about the other wars that you just quoted us in the Bible that are going to happen? Wars and rumors of wars is plural. Plural means more than one. Another thing that they do is make the claim that the war is in Psalm 83. As we talked about earlier, this is not happening. There is a tremendous amount of confusion that is being preached out of the body of Christ to the world, and this is not good. It's sad, but the deception that is in the world is in the church, and it is causing great confusion. The church is unable to deliver a clear message to the sinners because the church doesn't have a relationship with God themselves. We've been saying for quite some time that God's agenda is moving forward. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need your gift. He doesn't need your prophetic revelations. God is doing his perfect will for his time, line of events that he wants to happen. There is a teaching going in the body of Christ that you have to watch the words that you speak because you have what you speak. This is a good teaching. It has an important role within the body of Christ. But because of deception, the enemy has twisted this and cause people to believe that when you tell the truth, and that truth is negative in nature, then you're not being positive. You're a doom and gloomer. Nope, that's not true. This is wrong. Just because you're highlighting the truth and it's negative, this does not mean that you're negative and are speaking negative. The church is sitting in silence when it comes to the things of God because we're afraid that people are going to say that we're negative. Get rid of your fear. We need to stop categorizing truth as negative and positive. We just need to categorize it as truth and tell it to the people. So because of this error, there are teachings going around in the body of Christ that has caused people to believe other things in error. One of them is that God doesn't hate. God does hate. He does not like the evil that is produced out of and from our sin natures. Proverbs 6:16-19. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. I would say that all of the events that took place by Hamas fit every one of these categories in Proverbs 6. Isaiah 59:1-8, separated from God. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And isn't it interesting that we focus on that one scripture, but we miss the other seven verses that are attached to it? Listen to what verse 2 says. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Wait a minute. You just told me that the Lord's hand is not shortened and can't save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But verse 2, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies. And from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. The Palestinians, the Hamas, the Hezbollah people are saying, we want peace, we want peace. Let's just give us our land. Why the bloodshed? Why the attacks on the innocent people? Why are you doing all of these things that God just said in verses 1 to 8, 2 to 8? You're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. And the church has to stop speaking out of both sides of their mouth. And we need to start calling things for what they are. What you're doing is evil. Therefore, you are evil. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't go that far. But the things that you're doing are evil. And you need to stop it. And the church has got to stop playing footsie with the enemy. And the church has got to stop playing footsie with our words and just tell it like it is. You got to straighten up. When you read these scriptures, it is very plain to see the nature of God. When we look at the evil that was perpetrated against the Israeli people, it's very clear that the people who did this have no relationship with God. They fall right into these scriptures of those that hate God, and God in return is not going to hear them nor be near to them. God loves unconditionally, and he does love those members of Hamas and Hezbollah who raped, murdered, killed, and demonstrated a brutality that is beyond our human comprehension. If they were to repent and turn to God, God would accept them into his kingdom. But what is the likelihood that this will happen? Very slim to none. So we as a church need to speak the truth, call evil for what it is, and understand that these people are not going to make heaven their home. And we need to stop pretending that it's going to happen. We must come to grips with the stark reality that there is evil in this world. This evil has a face with arms, legs, brains, wills, emotion, and a voice, and it's moving through people. The devil needs people to move through and act through and do his bidding, and he is doing it. We need to come to grips with the fact that this evil loves to do evil. This evil hates God and will not turn to God. Bottom line, this evil is not ever going to be saved, have a place in heaven, or a place in the glory of God. And we need to stop teaching that everybody is going to be saved, because they are not. They're not. Not because God isn't good enough, but because they hate him with everything inside of their being. We've heard accounts of Mary Kay Baxter, of people who have been in hell, and she's seen them, and she asked them, or somehow it was a discussion that took place, and God, can you get me out of this? And as soon as they found out that God is not going to get them out of it, they immediately start cursing God like nothing ever happens. And they go through this cycle. They're locked in. And we need to understand that Revelation 22 is going to come to pass. Let the filthy be filthy still. Let the unjust be unjust still. So if you get locked into your sin nature, you're not coming out of it. And God doesn't have a responsibility to bring you out of it. Not because God isn't good, but because they hate him. This is evil, but this is a prophetic word that has come to pass. Matthew 24, verse 9. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. We have to stop pretending that these prophetic words in the Bible are not there, because they are. The days of walking around with your head in the sand and pretending that everything is good are over. We must start dealing with the reality that there are demonically controlled people who love evil, and they want to practice it. They want to practice it. God wants your heart. He wants you to understand these things that were talked about this morning. But you need to understand that you're a chosen people. And he hasn't called you into darkness. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we need to be so full of light that no matter what happens, it dispels that darkness. Does it mean that we won't be killed if we get in a situation where a Hamas person walks up to us? I don't know. There were some people who were spared. There were some people who were killed immediately. But the reality is, we know where we're going to go. We know what we believe in, and that is Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. It's not about making a decision anymore. It's about living what you've already decided. If you make the choice to live in the world and stay worldly, you need to understand the consequences of that decision. But if you've made the choice to live for God, you need to do it with everything within inside of you. People don't understand the darkness on every level is getting darker. And the enemy wants to pull you in and trap you in that darkness once and for all. This is the message that we need to be taking to people today. God is good, and his glory is being seen in the earth. His glory is going to cause things to manifest that need to be manifested, and we need to understand that it's his divine will and his divine purpose. Does everyone understand everything that was said this morning? I know it's serious, I know it's heavy, but you got to understand what's going on so that you can stay in a position that God wants you to stay in. Do you still love him? Amen. Father, we thank you for everything that was said today. We pray that it would be sealed within the hearts and the minds of your people. We cover ourselves in your son's blood. We thank you, Father, for this conflict that's going on. We thank you for giving us an understanding of it and how our role is going to be changing in the days ahead. We pray, Father God, that revelation knowledge would be given to us, that you would cause us to know when to speak, when to be silent, and to when to let your glory be seen in us. We thank you for your angels and their divine protection. We pray that the anointing that you have ordained for us to walk in will be fully manifested even now. The Lord is opening up the altar this morning. What he wants to birth inside of you is a divine boldness and knowing of the truth. Not just the truths that are positive, but all of the truths that are hidden within his word. And if you want to receive that, the altar is open for you to receive that boldness to walk in the fullness of the truth.